everybody, and welcome to the Consumer Defense Line. I'm your host, Michael Forbes, with my beautiful wife, Nancy Forbes, as the co-host. And we are in wonderful downtown Westchester on what really looks like a nice day out. May not be such a nice day for Bill Cosby, but I guess we'll find out about that.
Well, it's nice here.
It is nice here.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also parking, which is also a big issue that I have in Westchester.
Although you still have to pay those parking meters, even though you have to walk over an icy mountain.
Well, they should have paid me to do that. And,
yes.
I guess if you slip and fall on that, trying to pay the meter, well, who knows? Maybe I think that could create all kinds of problems for somebody, somewhere. Certainly for the person that slipped and fell.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were...
Well, you know what? I don't mean to interrupt, but can I give the phone number? Because that seems to be something that we forget to do. If you would like to call us here, 610-701-WCHE, 610-701-9243.
Thank you. Yeah, I had to pull my microphone out of the stand. I'd rather have the Frank Sinatra effect.
And it looks good on you. I wish there was a camera here.
Oh, great. Just what I need. We're going to talk about a couple things today in our power-packed half hour. One of the subjects has to do with payday lending, and the other one has to do with scammers, which we've talked about before. So I'll just start off with that because we received a few phone calls this week from people who were scared into making payments on debts that they didn't owe. Most of the time when we get these calls, the people calling are being told that they owe a payday loan, which they never took out. Or if they took it out, they paid it off, because these payday loans are really short-term loans, which the payday lenders actually take the money directly out of your paycheck, usually after about 7 or 8 days. So to owe money on a payday loan is very unusual, though it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So in one particular case, I had somebody call me who was a disabled veteran, and he was coerced into paying some money towards some company that, you know, as we've talked about before, they call, then they call family members, then they tell you, we're filing a lawsuit, we're going to serve you within 2 hours. First of all,
thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you for the heads up and telling me that I'm going to be served.
Yeah.
When the sheriff comes out, or, you know, in Philadelphia, for instance, you just have to be over 18 years old. You don't notify the other side that you're coming out to serve them with a lawsuit.
Oh, really? Is that how it works? I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you don't let them know, because what would happen? What do you think people would do if they knew first?
They would duck.
Yeah, they'd duck and cover. They'd run out the back door. So to give them any kind of notification usually is a red flag of fraud. And we also received the call from an elderly lady, and unfortunately the elderly are really prone to, you know, this type of thing. And these people have been getting money from her every month. And I think you had, you know, spoken to this person, and they said that, oh, you know, you owe the other guy, this other person, money too, standing next to me. So, you know, these are situations that if somebody's calling you and threatening you and you don't know what it's about, then they have a duty to send you a letter within 5 days telling you who they are, what the debt is. And then you have the right to dispute it and require what they call validation of that debt, so that you could see who you're dealing with and determine whether or not you actually owe these people money. It's amazing to me how many people don't owe money that pay money towards somebody who they don't owe.
Well, I think that, you know, they're so intimidated, and they might owe other debts, so it makes them feel very powerless and so they agree to do things.
Well,
because they do believe when they say, you know, the police are going to be there, we're going to arrest you at work. It's frightening.
It is a frightening thing to hear. And, you know, I've heard it many times, like, hey, listen, I figured it out. I researched mm-hmm. it. I Googled it.
Yeah.
And saw that these are the earmarks of a scam. But it is totally disconcerting when you hear that when somebody's calling.
Yeah.
So.
But when you think about the people that do call our office that get into these situations, they don't have access to a computer right there. They don't, you know, the elderly are not comfortable in many cases Googling.
Well, they're vulnerable.
Yeah.
And
totally.
Whatever the situation is, even, I mean, I've had clients and people that have spoken to me and then got these calls, and instead of calling me, they pay the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that shows you how vulnerable people are and how afraid they are. And, you know, look, some of the earmarks of these things, you know, when people use names like, you know, when they have a very thick accent and they're saying, this is Jack Armstrong.
Right.
I mean, come on. You know, you have to question that and realize, well, this probably isn't Jack Armstrong on the phone here.
Right.
And unfortunately, and this isn't to indict anybody with any kind of anything other than a Philadelphia accent like we have. but, you know, a lot of these calls originate from other countries mm-hmm. where they're not regulated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're not going to be subject to our jurisdiction or the jurisdiction of the United States court. So they get away with this stuff. They're making a fortune.
And yet they're very well trained. You know, they seem very good at obtaining personal information from people that they're talking to on the phone.
Well, you're right about that.
By a simple statement like, can you confirm your social security number?
Well, that's a good point. We've talked about that before. That just kills me.
Yeah.
We get calls at the office
mm-hmm.
from these big mortgage companies.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get a call from Chase or Citi or from one of the loan servicers like NationStar, Select Portfolio Servicing, and they'll call and say, Mr. Forbes, I'm calling about a mutual client. Well, first of all, they're not a mutual client. They are a customer who usually hates them and gets along well with me, who is actually a client. So they start off with that whole little spiel, and then they say, and remember, they call me. Okay, we want to discuss the account. Okay, that's fine. Could you confirm your client's social security number?
Mm.
It's like, wait a minute, you called me.
Right.
You know, I don't even know who you are. Why don't you prove to me who you are before I start talking to you about our so-called mutual client?
Right. And
so,
that's really how everyone should handle it. What are you confirming information for me for? You called me.
Right. So if you called them, you would expect. So I call, let's say, 1-800 mortgage company, and they're going to want to know, and they rightfully should, before talking to anybody about anybody else's private business, they should confirm who you are to the best of their ability
right.
to do so.
Right.
On the other hand, if they call you, they should be confirming to you who they are.
Right.
But once again, you know, most people like to try and please and accommodate other people,
mm-hmm.
so they're quick on the trigger to say, oh, I get this all the time. If you say I owe that debt, or I got sued, and, well, do you owe that? Well, yeah, I do. Well, how do you know? Well, they say I do, right here in the lawsuit. Well, does that mean if I say that you don't, that you don't? I mean, you know, I don't get it. So, and I think
I don't get that kind of logic either.
No, but what I think it is that we all have a tendency to make assumptions.
Right.
And instead of looking at, you know, we all do it. It's just human nature to some extent. Instead of taking a deep breath, sitting back and saying, okay, this is this, that's that. Do I know that account number? Do I remember that? Does that invoice look at mine? Did I go shopping and, you know, out in Dubuque, Iowa when I live here and don't go anywhere? You know, so people need to really examine paperwork, documentation.
Right. And especially when they're calling you out of the blue, you're not really expected to know that information.
Right.
Why would you?
you wouldn't know it.
Right.
And you probably wouldn't know it anyway because most people throw out their invoices.
Right.
So they don't have it at their disposal anyway.
Yep.
You know, look, I got a case right now that is in litigation where there's some very major doubts about the documentation that would prove ownership of the actual mortgage loan. And I'm being fought by the other lawyers because they don't want to produce the original promissory note.
Mm-hmm.
They have two versions of the same exact note. Now, I want a big case with the superior court on this issue. These guys know it, and so now we got to go to court so they could produce the real original note, not one of the copies. I don't know which one's the real one, I suspect,
right,
by looking at it. But it is absolutely incredible what I've seen on these things.
Yeah.
So, you know, even when we're dealing with lawyer to lawyer, and I know people would say, oh, yeah, you expect a lawyer to be honest with you? But, you know, we do have a duty. And when you're putting papers into the court, mistakes happen. I mean,
right,
we all make them. But when you're digging in and there's clearly a problem there, you know, you're really walking on the edge, and you really got some potential problems there. So, you know, we look at that and we try and scrutinize that. And even people that know better, such as the opposing counsel, you know, are trying to play games with me.
Right.
So,
but that's why people should call you at 610-293-9399.
A great lead in there.
Well,
everybody should call me.
Everybody,
well, not everybody.
People
know.
He's great to talk to, but he also really...
There's plenty of people I don't want to talk to, but, you know, if you
have... He can save you a lot of heartache and money.
Yeah, if you have these kind of problems that we talk about on this show, then by all means, it's a phone call. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm easy to talk to, and I'm, you know, happy to try and help. So anyway, that leads into what we started the show with, and that's these payday loans. Do you know what a payday loan is?
I do and I don't. Maybe you can enlighten.
Well, I always kind of had that same perspective. I do and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there are lenders out there who, and most of now you could find them on the internet. They used to be in these check cashing places and other, you know, types of little storefront operations where they will lend you money against your next paycheck. So we're going to lend you, you know, your next paycheck will, let's say, net you $400. We're going to lend you $200, and we get paid first out of the check. So that's fine. I mean, that's good. A lot of people that don't have good credit, you know, and really need the cash get paid in advance against their paycheck. So there's nothing wrong with that, except for one major thing here.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, in Pennsylvania, we, even though our consumer laws are not the greatest,
mm-hmm,
our payday lending laws are great. So it limits the amount of interest that can be charged to a 6% annual interest rate for an unlicensed lender and 24% if they're licensed by the Pennsylvania Banking Department. So, somebody lends you $200.
Right.
It gets charged at 6% annually. So, over a year, you would have to pay them $12. Well, without doing the math too much, $12 divided by 12 months is a dollar. In other words, they would get maybe like 25 cents or something on that loan.
Right, but they don't tend to run that long, right? I mean, would you have
No,
to?
You would, I'm breaking it down to what
gotcha.
It would be like over that week-long period.
Okay.
And if it was 24%, so they get $2, let's say, on a $200 8-day or 7-day loan.
Right.
But that's not how it works in a lot of other states. And what they have in other states are weak laws that allow the payday lenders to charge very often, the average is probably around 300-400% annual interest rate. So,
wait, say that again?
300-400%. In fact,
wow, where is that?
That's all over the country.
Oh my gosh.
So there's been a push in Harrisburg by the payday lending lobby to change the law in Pennsylvania so that they would offer internet-based payday loans at interest rates that range from 260% for a 35-day loan to 1,140% for an 8-day loan.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my
so you're
gosh.
Taking out 200 and you got to pay them back, I guess, 1,140% would be 1,000 or, you know.
How, and I'm sure
over $1,000.
How do you even do that? How do you even? I'm sure that when you apply online, that information is buried.
Well, yeah.
How
of
would
course.
You even find that information online?
People don't know. So what the payday lenders were doing, from my understanding, is they were going. You know, they had a lot of internet lenders. You go online, you don't even know where the company is.
Right.
But in Pennsylvania, it's even illegal to for internet lenders to be lending money to Pennsylvania citizens with those kind of interest rates. I know Philadelphia Community Legal Services. Curry Smith down there has been testifying before the Pennsylvania House Consumer Affairs Committee. I don't know the current state of all this, but they've been trying to pass this bill for a long time, and, you know, they've got the money.
Yeah.
You know, the consumer bar, which I'm part of, you know, we don't, you know, there's not a lot of support. You figure out who's in the state representative's office, and it's not the individuals that typically put them in, it's the bankers.
Yeah.
So these payday lenders, you know, they don't have a lot of competition because your standard banks won't usually deal with the people that want payday loans.
Right. Right.
So,
but they want payday loans because they need the money quickly. But then they
get
they
themselves,
have no idea how involved this gets.
And how they get themselves in a hole, and how they eventually will get sued. And what happens is that because they agree that their wages, the money comes right out of their wages, they are then unable to pay for their mortgage or their car or
right.
any other basic bills.
Right.
And there's a lot of states that allow that. So it takes people who are already in a extremely vulnerable and difficult financial position, and it basically just totally sinks them.
Makes it worse.
So what the other thing that we're finding and for quite some time is that a lot of these scam calls, we believe, are either owners or former employees or current employees of these payday lenders who get their information and then they sell it or use it and go after the former customers of the payday lenders.
Oh, it just never ends. Hey, listen, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Consumer Defense Line with Michael and Nancy Forbes, your host.
We're here.
And we are here on, excuse me, radio station WCHE. Our phone number is 610-701-9243. Keep those calls coming.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Anyway. So what we talk about here and what we do for a living is help individuals. There are very few lawyers who do this. One of the areas that we seem to be doing more and more of is defending student loan lawsuits, primarily private student loan lawsuits. And for those of who don't know what a private student loan is, there's basically two kinds of loan. There's the loans that you would get from the government, which in Pennsylvania was through the through FHEA, F-P-H-E-A-A. And or Sally Mae, and now those agencies are now under the aegis, are now called, go through the federal government through a company called Navient, N-A-V-I-E-N-T, or you get a private student loan directly from a bank that is not underwritten by a federal agency or, you know, what we would call subsidized by the federal agency. And there's a big difference in the loans because the government-backed loans or the direct loans from the government, if you default on them, they can garnish your wages. They also have, you know, a bunch of new regulations that allow them to be more flexible and force them to, you know, deal with you and trying to get yourself back out of default status if you defaulted on those loans. Whereas with the private loans, they don't have such restrictions, but they also can't garnish your wages. So you have to be, I get a lot of clients calling me who are totally confused because the private loans seem to switch hands quite frequently. Looks like we have a phone call. Who's on the phone there?
Hi, this is Ramsey.
Ramsey, our weekly or biweekly or bimonthly. I don't even know what the heck it is. How you doing, Rams?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good. Did you hear our talking about the payday loans at all?
I actually was not able to listen to that. I was on the other line.
Oh, my gosh. How could that be?
Boy, you owe me for that one. Do you ever run into payday loans being reported on credit reports?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I don't know what you said, but as far as I know, in Pennsylvania, payday loans are illegal, correct?
Well, they're not illegal, but they are very strictly regulated. And so, you know, they're they may be totally illegal. I just thought they were regulated in Pennsylvania. They're basically small loans in Pennsylvania, which are payday loans, typically come under, have ceilings on the interest rate.
Right.
So it's 6% for, you know, a registered bank and 24% annually for an unregistered agency giving a loan. But
right.
We were talking about how the payday lending lobby is now trying, and they've been trying for years, to get the state to lift those restrictions so they can, you know, come in and start ripping people off.
Yeah. Well, from my experience, I've never seen a payday company in Pennsylvania because I believe that they are illegal in Pennsylvania. In Delaware, there's tons of them. I mean, as soon as you drive down 202, you'll start seeing them left and right. And I've had plenty of clients who have traveled down to Delaware and, you know, in dire need of money to pay their car loan or their rent. And they do these terrible, terrible payday loans with 100% plus interest rate, sometimes 200 or 300% interest.
Yep.
And occasionally they'll show up on credit reports. In my experience, if they're attempting to collect a payday loan in Pennsylvania, I've always been able to get them removed from the credit reports because I tell them that what they're doing is illegal, and they immediately delete them.
Right, and you can't. Right, exactly, and you can't do those kind of loans in Pennsylvania.
Right,
you know, you can't charge those kind of interest rates.
Right.
Unfortunately, they're still doing it because anybody can go on the internet and get a loan from somebody. The problem is. When these people, like you said, try and collect on the loans,
right.
You know, and then start reporting them, the credit reporting agencies, you know, they're walking in a minefield when they do it in Pennsylvania.
And Michael was pointing out that in some states, what did you say, 1,100%?
Well, some of the loans, depending upon the length of the loan, they go up to 1,100%.
If it's an eight-day loan, 1,100%.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well go to a corner somewhere and
find someone.
Get your local guy. At least, you know, you may not have to pay that amount. You might have a couple broken legs, but either way, it's not a pleasant experience. So you're saying there's billboards on the way to Delaware?
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you go, you know, right down 202 past Westchester into Delaware, I mean, you'll see there's stores, payday loans, you know, bring in your title loans, you know, bring us your car title and we'll get you a loan.
Wow.
You know, just show us your pay stubs and we'll get you a loan, you know. I mean, I had a client before who got one. Actually, he was a friend of mine, and he apparently thought it was a good idea, and so he got one. It was like $450 because it was his first one. You know, the first one, they're not going to lend a lot of money until they see that you pay them back.
Right.
So he paid back the principal. He paid back the $400 and some, you know, over, you know, 4 months, and they said, you know, well, you still owe us like $500, and he was like, okay, and then, you know, closed his bank account, and he never heard anything again because his address is Pennsylvania. I've never seen it on his credit. And nothing ever happened. I mean, I don't recommend it, but it causes a lot of issues for your bank.
Well, yeah. I mean, but it's outrageous that, you know, and it's not like you're really building credit. You know, people loans. Like, you could take out a secured credit card, as we know, and you build credit that way, but you're not building anything. You're just building, getting yourself deeper in debt.
You're building stress.
So, anyway, we're actually heading up towards the end of the show, Ramsey. It's, it looked like there's a big orange clock on the wall there. But so in any, so if somebody runs into a situation like that, what is your advice to them in terms of, you know, other than to call you, which why don't you give your phone number?
They can contact Coulter Credit Counseling at 610-314-1094. We'll do a free credit consultation, see what's on there, you know, and if they are doing something that's illegal, then we have Michael Forbes who will sue them, and you know, we
can fix the situation
pretty quickly.
If you can find them. I mean, that's the other problem. A lot of these people, they work through the internet or outside
that's
the country, and that's another problem jurisdictionally getting them. But thank you for the plug anyway.
And people can find you at 610-293-9399.
Yeah, and no drop-ins either. People stop by all the time.
Yeah, we've been getting
just
a lot
to say hi, which is fine. We got a lot of nice clients and former clients. They always come by and say hi and
hang out.
Yeah, want to hang out. They like to watch me work for some reason. I don't know. I'm wondering how much work I'm getting done, but it seems like I work through it. But anyway, Ramsey, thanks for calling in. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
We'll catch you next time.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye. Be well.